Welcome to Poke the Bear Podcast. We are here to expose the lies that this culture uses to manipulate this generation. Interested? Have a listen.
Well, good day, good day, good day, my friends. Hey, my name is James Keys, and I am a high school presenter with Marriage Works. And we're going to speak to you today with the program called Go for the Gold. And with me, I have
Morgan Snyder, also a high school presenter. Good to be with you, James.
Awesome, awesome. You know, in this Go for the Gold program, it is such an exciting program. You know, with me, been doing it for about 2 years now. How long have you been speaking about the Go for the Gold program?
Well, you and I started at the same time, and we've been doing it for longer than 2 years.
Has it been longer than 2 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this wow. This is the end of our third school year.
Oh, flies. Isn't that amazing? It's been a blessing for doing it for that long and just being able to speak to the numerous, and I want to say thousands of students that we've spoken to over those 3 years and just being able to know that we are making a difference in kids' lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the Go for the Gold program is going to be 9 sessions that you guys will actually be hearing from different presenters, which is great. But we are all here to put out a message about positive, healthy, fulfilling, truly good for you relationships. We do focus a lot on dating, but if you're not dating somebody or you're not interested in dating, we don't want you to turn this off. This is for everybody. We are all in relationships all the time, whether it's friends, siblings, coworkers, parents, significant others, relationships on the internet, via social media, people that we haven't even met before in real life. We are all in relationships, and so we want to speak to that and really walk alongside you to have the best relationships possible, which is what we talk about when we named our program Go for the Gold. James, what do you think of when you hear the phrase Go for the Gold?
Yeah, Go for the Gold, really the opportunity for me to go for the best possible. And when I think of going for the gold, I kind of think of the Olympics and how an Olympic athlete is going for the gold. They just don't compete at the Olympics that now they're on the stage, but there's a lot of preparation that comes along the way in order for them to even be in position to go for the gold. So sometimes going for the gold, you have to think about, you know, what is it going to take for me to be able to be in position? But it's not like I'm going for the gold just at the Olympics, but I'm going for the gold through my preparation as well. So I want to have the best chance to have the best success, to have the best life possible. So going for the gold, it's a process. It's just not going to happen.
That's good. So what message would you have for somebody who's like listening and they might feel like they're not in a position to succeed? Maybe they feel like they failed in the past or their relationships are just all unhealthy. Maybe they feel like, I don't know, like they're a rotten egg. What would you say to somebody that feels like they're in that position?
Yeah. What I would like to say is that like you are possible. And a lot of times we think about things that are impossible and someone may be thinking that based off of my past experiences, it's impossible for me. But if you look at those two words, it's I am possible. And then with that mindset of saying I'm possible, it's possible, I can do this. I think at that point, that's when we have to then either start over or start where you are and say, what is it that I want out of this relationship, out of this friendship, out of this experience? What is it that I desire? Write it down and then start taking some steps to put yourself in position to go for the gold.
Yeah, that's good. So like take ownership, but also recognize that you do have to start somewhere. And so it's okay to start where you are because that's where you are. So because our program is going for the gold, like James said, going for the best relationship possible, we are going to cover a lot of topics because there's a lot that goes into relationships. And so we're going to, over these 9 sessions, cover a lot of stuff. Things like conflict resolution, things like finances, and something called grooming, which is emotional manipulation. We're going to talk about sexual bonding and how that impacts a relationship. We're going to talk about boundaries, which I don't know about you, James, but I have to set boundaries with people all the time in my life, not just in my romantic relationship. So, you know, we're going to cover a lot of things, starting with like friendship in a relationship, but go all the way up until the topic of marriage. And so this truly is a program for everybody. You can feel free to listen to this and then share it with somebody that you think might need to hear it. But we want to be a resource for you, and we will guide you to our website as we can. We're going to give you materials as we are able to go along with these podcast recordings. And we truly are here for the success of high schoolers and middle schoolers, just anybody who's listening, receiving this audio. So let's get to it. We're going to hit the Go for the Gold program now and give you a type of like intro. And then we're going to be glad that you're here with us for the next 9 sessions.
Awesome. Morgan, that was so good. Looking at that, and I think you kind of went through some of the spaces, but you know, everything that we do, and I think you just said it, you can choose to listen to this program. Life is a lot about choices, the choices that we make. And sometimes we make choices and, you know, they're good. Nothing negative happens. But sometimes we make a choice and something is not as promising or that we desired, or the receipt of that action is not what we desired. So it's not as good. So it kind of reminds me of playing the game Jenga. Have you ever played the game Jenga, Morgan?
I have. I'm amazing at it.
You're amazing at it? Right on. You know, I've been playing it for a little while now. Even when we do this in the classes, we play this game called Jenga. And you know, Jenga, the tower itself, it's like your life tower, and everything is together. But in Jenga, Morgan, you're so good. What are you trying to do with the game Jenga?
Well, you're trying to be careful to not knock the tower over, but you're trying to pull pieces out individually and then put them on the top to make the tower higher and taller without knocking it over.
Oh, without knocking it over. So are you saying like you pull pegs out and then you put them on top? Do you kind of pick which ones you want to pull out? I mean, are there some ones that are easier than others to pull out?
Yeah, very carefully. I have found that the best ones are the ones in the middle because they have, you know, two on the side that are still holding the tower up.
Oh, that is so solid. Me too, you know, because you think about it, you put one out the middle, the tower is probably not going to fall because you have a guide on the left and a guide on the right. Sometimes we do choose those ones in the middle because those are the safest decisions. And when we make safe decisions, we're probably looking at our foundation, kind of looking at what got us to this point. And now we're making those choices. But sometimes do you have to choose in the game where it's not a guide on the left or a guide on the right, and maybe it might be on the edge?
For sure.
So yeah. So what happens?
You just got to go for it.
You got to go for it. Thank you very much. Yeah, you just got to go for it.
But you go slowly and carefully and really feel out if it's the best thing for the tower.
Gotcha. Because sometimes you can make that choice and the tower doesn't fall, but it was still a risky decision, right? It was a risky mm-hmm. choice. But your tower didn't fall. And then over time in this game, or just through it in life, you might make a decision and your tower may fall. But does it mean that the game is over or your life is over?
Absolutely not. When I play Jenga and the tower falls, we just build it back up again and we play again.
Build up and you play again. So when you rebuild it, you know, do you use anything to rebuild it or to make sure that the tower is nice and straight?
I mean, you're using the same pieces that had recently fallen down, mm-hmm. but you just make sure you put them up in a good solid formation, you know, the way the Jenga instructions tell you to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And make sure it stays up there.
Good deal. Yeah. So with the Jenga game, there's a guide, there's a tool that allows you to put it together, put it, stack it, and then you can kind of square it up. And in some cases, I'll use two guides and I'll put it so it kind of wraps all around all the blocks and it makes sure that it's nice and square. So when I start decisions again, like you said, that tower is nice and strong and it's compacted. You know, and in life, we often have to use guides to make decisions. Now, guides could be a lot of people. Like I like to use my guides from teachers, to my sports coaches. Morgan, you have other guys in your life that you use as well?
Also just people that, like friends that know me really well who've stood the test of time. Like if I have a friend that I've had for many years, I know that I can trust them and they know me and they know my background. Whereas if I meet a stranger on the street, obviously I'm not going to use them as my guide because they don't know me and I don't know what kind of person they are. So I try to get advice from people that I've known for a while and have proven themselves to be of high character and be wise and give me good advice.
That is so solid. That is so solid. Yeah, I definitely align with that because if, you know, and we're making decisions, but we got those people that are in our life that can give us good advice, then maybe when you make something that's not as smart or the best decision, they'll let us know because a good friend is somebody mm-hmm. that's going to let you know what you're doing there. So you mentioned something that you said over your life. So you're saying it's not just who you know right now, but maybe people you meet along the way that can come into your life. Okay. Cool. So our life is like a hike, right? You know, from the time you were born.
Yeah, with the ups and downs.
The ups and downs. You mean life is not going to be smooth? We're not going to make the best decisions? Oh, you're saying it's going to be up and down, up and down?
For sure. But the way I think about it is like, you know, people say like ups and downs, like the up is good and the down is bad. But if you're thinking of it like a hike, as you go up a mountain, even though it's getting better, if that's the up, that's the good thing that's happening in your life, it's more difficult. You know what I mean? It gets harder to go up a mountain than it is to go down because of gravity, obviously.
Gotcha.
And so even though we have our highs in our life, we still have to like work hard for those things. It's not like, oh, it's a high, it's a good thing. No, good things take work and good things take practice and good things take intentionality. And so you were talking about those choices, how we all have to make choices in our life. Those choices do lead to the highs or they lead to the lows. And so that's like a little added way I like to think about that analogy of life being like a hike.
Wow. You know, when you were saying that, it made me think of, you know, I do this bike ride and I ride from Cleveland to Cincinnati, or we've done Cincinnati to Cleveland as well. And along the way, the road is never just flat, right? And it's like I'm going there, but there is often where I have to climb a hill on my bike, elevation, bike, two pedals. Yeah. I'm riding a bicycle to Cleveland. Yeah. Right? Two pedals and I'm going up a hill. And that's so true. It's like, it's hard getting up that hill. But once you get there, there was a lot of work. It's like, wow, I did that. Or after those 328 miles, it's a lot of up and down, up and down.
Awesome. So what's happening in your brain? Like, what are you thinking?
You know, and I think the original thinking of, so here's the one thing. I've done this before because now this would be the fifth year that I've done this. So the first 3 years we did from Cincinnati to Cleveland. Last year we did from Cleveland to Cincinnati. So now because I've done it, I've had success. I know what I did or what I didn't do. Through my mind, as I'm preparing for the race that's in July, hopefully we'll make it in July, I'm thinking about my training in the past. What did I do in the past? What worked? What didn't work? What should I have done more of? You know, maybe who should I have connected with? Who could I have trained with to kind of help me along the way so that when it's time for that race, I'm as prepared as I can be because I've done it. Now, once you get on the course and things change, now you have to say, okay, I got to dig deeper because my goal is to finish. My goal is 15 miles. My goal is this. So you set those small goals along the way. So then you finish that day and then you finish 2 days and 3 days and then you finish the 4 days. And I'm going to tell you, on that fourth day when you're finished, it's like, man, I can do this again, right? When you're first starting, it's like, wow. Again, it's that preparation. It's setting goals. It's making sure that your goals are smart, right? The smart goals, making sure you have those so that when you're out accomplishing whatever or going for whatever you want to accomplish, no, you have some things set so that you can achieve it.
That is such a good analogy, like going up a hill, like you're talking about your bike ride. That's great. It,
the bike ride itself, you know, is something that has been very passionate in my heart. But, you know, often, you know, that's just one thing that I do. But then I look at that. You work so hard to do that. But then it's over, right? And then I was talking about how my bike is just sitting there, but I know I'm going to have to get back on it again. But if I stay on my bike, if I continue to ride throughout the off season, right, when I'm not training for the ride, but I'm still riding, when I start to train, it won't be as hard because I've already been in the saddle, I've already been through it. So that is something that I think about with friendships or with relationships. Don't just do it to get a reward, but to stay in it. You know, like for me, I've been married for 27 years. And for me, for 27 years, if I would have just done the things to marry my wife, you know, call it 30 years ago, and then she said yes, and then we had that wedding day, if I would have just stopped then, my relationship, my marriage would never have lasted for 27 years. So there's something that I had to do continuously, you know, for the goal of having my marriage last forever, like my vows say, right? So we know everybody doesn't stay married that long, but we think about, you know, what was that process? No, what was that life hike, the ups and the downs that come with any relationship, marriage?
Yeah, that's a great point that somebody might have the goal of marriage or other relationship goals. Maybe you just want to be in a harmonious, happy relationship, or maybe you just want to be in some sort of romantic relationship, whatever your goal may be. Once you reach that goal, that's not the time to stop implementing healthy things. That's the time to like keep going and continue it. And it kind of speaks to like creating a lifestyle of healthiness, not just doing of healthy habits. You know, health is not just doing a healthy thing once in a while. James, you're very active. You clearly ride bikes. You work out all the time. You're a trainer. If you just went to the gym 2 times a year, you can't call yourself physically healthy. Like, it's not what we do every once in a while. It's what we consistently do. That's who we are. And so as we're talking about having healthy relationships, it's also about what is my lifestyle like? What is healthy and what is unhealthy in what I do? How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? How do I spend my thoughts? How do I spend my energy? These are all things to be thought about as we talk through this program. It's challenging to ask those personal questions to yourself, but really it's worth it because, James, I hear you with 27 years of marriage that if you can implement healthy things, there's a reward there. And I know James, so I know that he's talked about benefits of marriage and how much he loves his wife. And there's benefit to sticking with something and really caring about it and making it healthy. So that's you're a great testimony to this program, James. Even though you only started a couple of years ago, you kind of show the fruits that come of it, which is really cool.
Thank you. You know, and I just think it, I go back to just, you know, where I was brought up. And we talk about the life hike and I, you know, I love this exercise that we do with, you know, looking at, you know, the different age cycles, we call it, of our life, you know, from our birth to, you know, to the time that we end up, you know, that we pass, you know, and I think about from like 0 to 15, like those years. And I think about me in those years, like who was telling me what to do, who was getting me going, who was making the decisions for me. And for 0 to 15, I mean, those are my foundational years. And I look back at, you know, what happened to me during those years, and then how was I able to overcome? You know, Morgan, at age 7, I started to stutter, and I've stuttered all my life. And I know listening to this, someone might not think that I'm a stutterer, but there's different things that I've learned, you know, through those years. You know, also at age 7, my mom and dad got divorced. So it was like something that happened to me, you know, in those foundational years that kind of made me who I am today. So that 0 to 15 for me was very, very, very important. And a lot of things happened. Other things happened to me as well during those years that created the foundation for me.
Wow. And those years are so important because we kind of learn what, like we're kind of taught what is real and what isn't. It lays that foundation of our life and our thinking. And sometimes it's hard to get out of the thinking that we were taught in those years because sometimes we were taught things that weren't true. But statistically, ages 15 to 30 are actually where the most critical decisions in our life are made. So this is me right now, James. You're a little older, so you're out of this category. But me and the high schoolers who are listening right now, we are still in the 15 to 30 range. I'm 25. I was actually, this is funny. I was just watching last night a video on my computer that I made my freshman year of college with 2 of my roommates. And we were talking about how crazy it was going to be that we were turning 19. And I remember that time so vividly. I was growing so much. I had just gone to college. Everything was new and exciting. And I just felt like the world was my oyster. And I'm 25 now. So it was 7 years ago that I'd made this video. And I was just looking at it like, wow, I've changed so much. I am not that person anymore in that video. And yet there's this like still image of me in this video that I can watch who I used to be, but then say, wait, that's not right. Don't say that, Morgan. But I've grown so much. And so the ages of 15 to 30, it's like just the growth is exponential beyond what we really can see in the moment happening. And so what, James, for you from your years 15 to 30, what would you say were like the major, like maybe life lessons that you learned or just decisions that you had to make that really impacted your life in the future? What would you say about this, your ages?
Yeah, you know, that is so funny you say that, because my wife and I were just talking about, you know, the things that are affecting us today. And was it a decision that we made between those ages? And I was like, wow, you know, we got married when I was 27, my wife was 25. So that's when we got mm-hmm. married. So now I'm 53. So I am a little bit older than you. My mm-hmm. wife and I had our first child at that age. I had an older daughter. I have an older daughter. So I dated a girl through high school and got her pregnant. So some of the decisions that I made when I was in college, like what degree, what college to go to, you know, whether when I moved out, when I finished college, whether I moved back home to live with mom, or if I decided to get my own apartment, you know, what job did I take out of college? You know, the decision to study hard in college or just to get by because I was playing football in college. So it was like a decision that I made to say, look, if I get B's and C's, I'll graduate. But when I graduated, I realized because I made a decision to just get by, the positions for a future career for me were also limited. Because now the big corporations didn't want someone with a 2.5 or 2.6 GPA. They wanted somebody with a 3.0 or 3.5 or 4.0 or more to come work for them. So some of my friends ended up with nice jobs right out of college. And then here I am working at the Finish Line right out of college. Nothing against the Finish Line, nothing against sporting goods, but it created a shoe problem for me that I still have at 53. So it's like those decisions, I mean, there's so many of them that affect me today that I did between the 15 and 30.
Wow. Do you see good things that come out of that, though? Like, have you been able to overcome, like, even though you made some decisions that you regret, have you been able to, like, look back and say, you know, that made me stronger? Or, like, how have you, like, instead of living in regret, how do you look back at those things and find value?
Yeah, so I don't think that it was regret. So the good thing that has happened to me is that I'm able to teach my kids, my girls, hey, look, don't do this. This is what I did and this is what I got, right? And even though over years I was mm-hmm. able to kind of get over that hump. I was kind of able to climb that mountain and get that good corporate job and to make, you know, the good money. But because of where I started, it kind of put me back a little bit further. But because I'm a competitor, that gave me the drive and the determination to go after it, to do some things differently, to get my master's degree and to be able to then work for those Fortune 500 companies, right? And make a good money. But the best thing is that it gave me the opportunity to share my experience with my girls and now with my grandson to say, hey, look, we want you to do well in college. I want you to have fun and enjoy college, but I also want you to work really hard because this is what happened to me. And just be able to share that experience, but it also gave me drive and determination to get after it.
That's good. So, yeah, we've been mentioning college. We've mentioned marriage, but some people might be listening and feel like you can't really relate to those things. Like you maybe want to go to technical school or you want to get trained in a trade, do it. If you have a skill and you work really hard at it, that can be just as fulfilling as college. We live in a world where I remember when I was a senior in high school, everyone just asked me, what are you doing next? What are you doing next? What are you doing with your life? I didn't know. I had no idea. And so I would encourage you to pick something, but pick something that suits you. Do something that you know you're going to enjoy and love and be good at that goes along with your personality and what you're gifted in, and ask yourself, based on who I am as a person, what are good goals for me, but also what has worked for other people. So a big part of life is asking other people for their advice. And back to what James was talking about earlier, like, have people around you that can be a guide for you. And if someone tells you, you know, I made this mistake, don't make it. Listen to them, take their advice, learn from other people's mistakes, because they've lived life and you don't have to repeat those same mistakes. You can learn those lessons and then go on to succeed and learn even more lessons beyond that. I know that in high school, I hated it when my parents told me to not do anything, like anything that they told me not to do, even if I knew it was bad for me. I wanted to rebel. There was just this part of me that I was like, no, if my parents are telling me not to do it, I want to do it. But now as an adult looking back, I'm like, yeah, the reason why they said those things was because they had made mistakes and they didn't want me to repeat them. And so as we talk about goal setting, think about every area of your life. Think about your mental health, your physical health. Think about your relational health. Think about your financial health. Every area of your life we can be improving in. And so just as you're walking through this program, ask yourself those questions of what really should my goals be? And then how do I get there? So when you were talking about the game of Jenga, you talked about, you mentioned the word foundation. And I like to think of relationships as like steps, and not everybody takes exactly the same steps in relationships, but the place where all of us start in every relationship that we're in is becoming friends with somebody, being a friend. And I think of like that Jenga tower. If let's say that you're playing Jenga and the first three blocks that you take out are those bottom three foundational blocks, the tower is gonna fall. Unless you're one of those amazing people in those videos on the internet where they can like pull the middle one out and the tower just stays up. But if you're not that kind of person, then the tower's going to fall. And that's because with everything in life, with everything we do, we have to have some sort of foundation to fall back on. And if it's not a solid foundation, things are going to fall. And so with that foundation, or with the idea of relationships, we need that foundation of friendship to begin a relationship, because being a friend really does wonders for our lives. Like having people around us that we know and trust and treat us well, people who truly care for us and love us, people who are genuine friends to us. That's really a powerful thing to have. And so I want to talk a little bit about friendship, just because if we're going to talk about relationships, I think we need to start there. So
yeah, thank you for sharing
friendship,
James? Because being a friend to me, I think before I get involved with anything, I want to become friends with that person. And like for me, for example, me and my best friend have been best friends, you know, since the age of four. So now I'm going to talk about 49 years. We have been friends, and this best friend, I could call him.
That's amazing.
We actually just talked over the weekend and just was catching up. Now he lives 3 hours away from me, but we're able to, I mean, with the internet now, right? Or with the phones and Wi-Fi, you can connect immediately like you're in the next room. But we were able just to catch up because we don't have to talk every day. But when we were friends, there was something that grabbed him and me just to be connected and stay connected. It was in preschool, and we learned about red light, green light. We learned about hot and cold. We learned about right and left. We learned about the crosswalks. I mean, it's like things like that that we learned, but then we lived close into the same neighborhood. Now we live different because, you know, we grew up a little bit different. I mean, immediately we had the same two parents, but when I said I was seven, my mom and dad got divorced, but his mom and dad, you know, lived together, you know, for a long time. So, you know, being a friend, I think, is so important. And having the right friend. Sometimes that one friend is not going to be there all your life because things may happen. But get you a good friend, someone that you can trust, someone that you can rely on, that you know, I'll call it, they got your back.
Yeah, that's good. Always. It's always good to have those people that have your back. So I also want to say that with friendship, if we don't do them well, we lose our friends. So like, if I, for example, I have two sisters, if I treat them badly, they might stop talking to me, but they're still my sisters, right? Ultimately, they're still family. They're still blood. But if I treat my friends badly, like, which I have honestly done in the past, I've lost friendships because I didn't treat them well. So they're like, heck no, I'm not going to keep spending time with you because you're not a good friend. And so we can see the value of treating people well and knowing what other people need, not just focusing on ourselves in relationships, because if we don't treat somebody well, they're gone. And so if we want to maintain friendships, if we want people to stay in our lives, we have to learn how to be a genuine friend, not just expect that from the other person. And maybe a good thing to ask yourself is like, how often do people like come in and out of my life? Like, am I just constantly filtering through people and flipping through different friendships, and are they constantly changing, or do I have solid people that I can trust and that I also treat them well, and so they stick around? But the friends that we put around us, you know, they say that the closest five people,
the five
to us,
closest friends,
is that what it is?
To you would go back, you would be the average of the five closest friends or people you have in your life. And average meaning, you know, what they have, what they do. So think about your friendships, like the friends that you circle with now, that you have within your circle. You know, do you want them in your circle? Do they have things that you also, do you have the same kind of aspirations, the same kind of drive, the same kind of you know, goals? You know, and if you do, then you're probably in good. But if maybe someone doesn't practice what they preach, so to say, then maybe you don't want that person to be in your circle.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm also thinking of, you said like having the same goals and aspirations. That's so solid because it's hard to reach goals when the people around you aren't supporting you. But I'm also thinking of like character traits. So like if I surround myself with people who don't value honesty, I am not going to be an honest person. Like I can only hold out for so long before becoming exactly like them. But if I surround myself with people who refuse to gossip or refuse to tell a lie or treat people badly, then I'm going to adopt those character traits as well. And it's unrealistic to think that we can maintain a healthy lifestyle if we're not surrounding ourselves with people who are also implementing healthy things into
their
lives.
That's so solid.
Well,
Morgan, I would just end with, you know, it's never too late to change your focus and practice creating and maintaining healthy friendships. And when I say that, you will be glad that you did. Mm-hmm. There were some friends that I had to change and then, or, you know, just not connect with as much. And when I did that, it was amazing, you know, how freeing I was, because now I didn't have to worry about what they would think or say about what I was doing.
That's good. Well, thanks for sharing all that you did, James. This has been a good time for me. I hope that it's helped somebody, and we're glad to get started on this Go for the Gold program.
Thank you, Morgan. And you know, let's close with making sure that you have good, solid goals. You know, so to have the best life possible, you want to make sure you have smart goals. And smart meaning you want to be specific, you want to be measurable, you want to be attainable, realistic, and time bound. So to have the best relationship possible, the best friendship possible, the best life possible, to go for the gold, you want to make sure you have smart goals. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Morgan. I really appreciate you. You're awesome. And I look forward to speaking and spending more time with you.
Thanks for joining us on Poke the Bear Podcast. Join us for more at our website, go4thegold.com.